back to our primary sugya of Suffolk Mitzvah Devadai, or maybe the more correct name of the sugya is Ein Suffolk Mitzvah Devadai. So Gemara talks about a lot of strange things, bizarre things in the sugyas of Suffolk Mitzvah Devadai. We had one example of Bedikas Chometz. That's what we got into this whole pickle in the first place, about Bedikas Chometz. If I saw the holder running around with a slice of pizza and bring it to the house, now what? Can I assume that the holder ate it up? Shalom Suffolk Mitzvah Devadai. Then the Gemara jumped over to what? To the case of Chavash Emes. That's also a potential issue of Suffolk Mitzvah Devadai. The Gemara talked about Medurah Sa'akol, right? Can we assume that the Nafel, I know the Nafel was there, but now I'm not sure whether it was eaten up or not. And now, finally, the Gemara moves to another case. Also happens to involve a Nafel, happens also involve a Tuma a little bit of a different case. The Gemara tells a story. It's a modern story. Mice, we don't know a lot of the details about the story. We know it took place in a place called Rimon. Right? Nice. Maitzi Rimon. Doesn't anyone say that? Rimon? Okay. Okay. Where are Rimon? Does anyone know? Wherever it is. Okay. So it's by some city. Right? It's Shaltai Rimon. So Mitzvah Rimon. So comes the Gemara tells the following story. Mai said that there was a woman who had a miscarriage. Okay. Sorry. She had a miscarriage. And the Nafel was tossed into a boar. Tossed into a pit. So again, disposed of it. What right do they have to do that or not? That's the second half of the sugya. But the mice, they did. Whatever they did. They this. The nef was tossed into a pit. And then they realized a little bit later, wait a second, we shouldn't have done that so fast. It's important for us, we should have examined the nefel first. Why? It's important for us to know, was this nefel a zohar? Was this nefel in a keva? Why is that important? That's very important. Because if it was a zohar, so then the yamei tuma from the woman who gave birth to this nefel will only be 7 days. Then the law to be made tara for 33 days. After the dimin Torah, that when a woman is a yaledes, so when she's a yaledes, a zohar, she's automatically to man for 7 days, whether she did bleed or didn't bleed. And Rub the Rub Tav, she's going to be bleeding anyway, but she's going to be a regular need anyway. But even if it's some quirk, even if she, this is both for miscarriage and for a wide birth, if she once this baby comes out of her, so if it comes out naturally, if it comes out cesarean, then there's no din of tumas leida altogether, then just going to be tumas nida because she's going to bleed anyway. But the din of tumas leida, a special parasha, and any parasha says Ria, that if she gives birth to a boy, so she's tamei for 7 days, then in Torah she goes to the mikvah, and then for the next 33 days, she enters into the period that's called Yemei Tahara. It means any blood she sees in the next 33 days is tahar. Even though we know it's coming from the uterus, it's the same blood. She's gushing, flowing blood. Teres lechatchila to her husband, she's muter legamri. I mean, nothing. It's what's called Yemei Tayar. That's the kach nemerolach. That's the din deraisa. So that din deraisa doesn't apply bisman hazeh. Why doesn't it apply bisman hazeh? That's mechalik to rishonim. Why doesn't it apply? So some of the rishonim say that Chazal did away with it mid the rabbanim because it was too risky. That means a woman's bleeding. She's mamish. It's as if she's having a period. She's mamish bleeding nonstop, and she's muteres labayla. That's going to lead to a major confusion of Chaznida. So there are some Yisharim who say that when Chazal made the Takan across the board called B'nai Yisrael Lechmil Atzban Shefil Rosti B'zav Gechard Al Yoshua Shiv Nikiyim, that when a woman has experiences Riyaz Dam, even though Min HaTorah she doesn't require Shiv Nikiyim and some other scenarios, so there was a Takan as a Chamim. It started a little bit in the days of the Tanoim, and then it was accepted a little bit later on the days of the Amoraim, and finally, when the time of the end of the period of the Gemara, it comes out that a lot of Chumah is in the Chaznida. So some Yisharim claim that part of that Chumah Midrabanan was that we did away with the whole parasha of Dam Toyer. That's what some Yisharim say. And the Rambam writes not the way. The Rambam writes that Dam Toyer was not Aser Bechach Be'Gemara. It was something that was accepted later generation, after Chachmei Gemara. So in the later years, sometime between the end of the period of the Gemara, you want some Jewish history, so that Jewish history shiva today. So sometime between the end of the period of the Gemara, which was approximately towards a little bit before the year 500 of the Common Era, give or take. So sometime between that and when the Rambam lived in what years? Where did the Rambam live?
15.
Rambam was at the end of the 1100s, no?
1100.
The end of 1100s. So sometime in that span of 700-800 years or so, so the Rambam writes that Klal Yisrael accepted it by themselves for the most part. It's called Ein Bolam Al Dam Toyer. So then the Rambam makes a reference to something that he elaborates in his Akdamah Deperisha Mishnayos. The Rambam writes that he's heard that even though he knows for a fact that in the communities that he's been in, so we're not Bolam Al Dam Toyer. We don't follow this Kula Deraisa anymore. So he writes that in Bavel, that's the minig, and in North Africa, that's the minig, in Eretz Yisrael, that's the minig. All the communities that he's been exposed to and been in contact with. But he writes that Shamati, he heard that, I think he writes Betzarfas, if I'm not mistaken. I think. Anyone have a Rambam on? Is the Rambam on? Okay, whatever it is. So I think the Rambam writes that Shamanu, that Adayem Ezeh, Tzarfas in France, they're still Boel Adam Torah. I think that's what the Rambam's Lashon was. So how can it be? Either it's Asur or it's Mutter. So the Rambam is referencing what he writes in his Akdamah to Mishneh Torah, his Akdamah to Rishon Mishnayos. That any din that was accepted by the Beis Din, by the Chachmei Gemara, anything that was included in the Chesimus HaGemara was accepted by all of Klal Yisrael. And let's say you have a Jewish community that would come and say that we never knew about it. Let's say Lamoshel, like an Ethiopian Jewish community that they weren't even familiar with many of the Pesachim of the Gemara. So it doesn't matter, the Rambam says, even if you have a Jewish community living in some far-flung place that never, all of a sudden we're going to find a Jewish community in the middle of Antarctica, and they never heard of Talmud Bavli. So the Rambam says, they're still bound by Talmud Bavli. Why? Because Talmud Bavli was agreed upon by Rav Chachmei Yisrael. So if you're part of the Jewish people, whether you know about it or you don't know about it, that's like a Pesach of Beis Nagol. That's what Rav Chon explained to the Rambam. That's like a Beis Nagol speaking. So everybody's bound by the Pesach of the Chachmei Bavli, because that was Rav Chachmei Yisrael. But the Rambam writes, after the Chesimus HaGemara, so there was no real central authority anymore. It corresponded to a time when the Jewish community bubble started to spread out. Now small Jewish pockets of Jewish communities in Spain were coming to existence, and in France and Germany, France a little bit later, in Germany and France. So the Rambam writes, by the time he's around, by the time of the 1100s, there is no central address anymore. It's not like it was in the days of the Gemara. There was a central address. Everybody was kofuf to the Pesach of the Chachmei Bavel. He said, things have changed. The Metzias HaDvarim, the history has changed, the sociology has changed. And the Rambam writes befeirush this whole idea that change in sociology, that change in demographics in the Jewish community creates a very, very serious shift in halacha. Once there's no central address that everybody's kofuf to, so then there's no Beis Nagol anymore. And there's no, I don't mean there's no 71. 71 has been in Butler ready for many years. But there's no central authority. There's no Askavas Klal of Yisrael. And therefore the Rambam says it's each community on their own. So whatever if the Chachmei Bavel is Zoy, so the Jews in Bavel should listen to them. The Chachmei Tzol Zuch Zoy, the Chachmei Tzorfa Zuch Zoy, the Chachmei Meratol Zuch Zoy, the Chachmei Yisvein Zuch Zoy. Every Jewish community should listen to their own Rabbanim. No one's mechuyev to anyone else. And therefore the Rambam writes, that's where we find this phenomena that post-Chachmei Gemara, any takonis and minhagim that were instituted post-Chachmei Gemara are not binding on all Klal Yisrael. So that's exactly what the Rambam writes in the Chesis Rebiya. Unlike those Rishayim who said that the Ein Bolam Adam Torah was instituted by the Chachmei Gemara, if that would be the case, then it would be binding on the whole world. So the Rambam writes that wasn't instituted by Chachmei Gemara, it was instituted much, much later. And therefore, there are still some communities out of Yom HaZeh that are making like that. Things have changed since the 1180s or so, and the last 900 years or so. So, to the best of my knowledge, there's no Jewish community under the sun, Bechlal, even in Antarctica, no matter where they are. Nobody's Bol Adam Torah. Everybody follows this Chumrah of Ein Bol Adam Torah. But it's not Peteris Din Der Aisa, it's not Peteris Din Der Abba, it's not Peteris Minig. That's what Chassam Sofer was presented in the Shaila. Let's say a woman had a baby, she went to the mikvah, and then she has another Riyaz Dam. And we have to paskin that she's Tameya, she's Asura, because Ein Bol Adam Toyer. So we have to send her back to the mikvah. So they asked the Chassam Sofer, how could she make a bracha when she goes to the mikvah? Asher kiddushanu mitzvayisa mitzivanu ala tefillah. That's a joke. That's a farce. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah d'raisa. It's not a mitzvah d'rabbanan. It's only a minig. You make brachas and minhagim. Anyone remember? We do. Who makes brachas and minhagim? Anyone say hallel this morning? Who made a bracha and say hallel? We did. Okay, good. So Ashkenazi women, when they go to the mikvah for Dam Torah, can make a bracha. Svarim, any Svarim on the call? Any Tamidi Agro on the call? Any briskers on the call? Nobody? Okay? So, are you? Oh, I was going to ask you, was that a Svarim, Tamidi Agro, or brisker? I see. Okay, Eitan's on the call. Okay. So, so did you make a bracha on Hallel this morning?
No.
Good. Okay. So, if you have a shayla, your wife has to go to the mikvah for dam tovah, so you got to figure out how could she make a bracha. So Chassam Sofer talks about that topic. Chassam Sofer was not quite a Sephardi rav; he was a Hungarian rav. We're learning a lot of Jewish history today. So he saves the day for the Sephardi woman. So you have to check why the Sephardi woman would or would not make a bracha on dam tovah. And we're back to that story. So in the olden days, it was very, very important to know whether this neifa was a zohar or a keifa. Because if it's a zocher, then you make tumah 7 days, and you make tara 33 days. If it's in a keva, then you make tumah 14 days, and you make tara 66 days. So that's a big, big difference. Because man is there, none of this matters at all. Because for us, nobody finishes Riyas Dam until after 14 days anyway. Ruba the time. Once in a blue moon, you have a very early miscarriage. You have a very, very little amount of Dam. Maybe. But Ruba the time, Zochan Akev is irrelevant, and you may Torah Zichar irrelevant, Bezman Azeh. So nobody's going to go, hanging their heads and falling into pits in order to see whether it's a Zohar and a Keva. But in the days of the Gemara, in the days of this, this is the Braisa. So this was back in the days that this could have been Bizmana Biknosh. And I don't know when this story happened. So it was very, very important to know. She wants to know when a Yemei Torah are going to be over. When could she go? She can't go to the Beis Hamikdash till the Yemei Torah are over, when she brings a Korban, Mechus HaKippurim. This is a very, very important Shaila. So they realized somebody made a big mistake here. They tossed the Nephil into the boar a little bit too quick. So they sent somebody to go retrieve the Nephil. The problem was, it wasn't so easy. The boar was a boar rake, it was a deep boar. So the best they could do is they sent somebody with very, very good vision. And they sent them to lean over the boar a little bit, to peek over the boar a little bit, and to see. Maybe you'll be able to see. I don't know how deep the boar is. The nape was very, very small. So you have to see. Gosh, maybe you can make out whether it has Avra Zachris or not. We have to look if you see in that area a little something, a little mashu that looks like Avra Zachris. So maybe that would be enough, and that's going to solve the world's problems. That's what the Gemara, that's what they sent this guy. So they sent this expert to go peek over the boar and to go try his best to see whether she peel a Zohar, he peel the Keva. So now a whole new Shaila came, because this fellow went to go see and he couldn't see anything. It's not clear what happened. Now he wants to know, this guy wants to know. Wait a second, comes back to the rabbi and says, Rabbi, am I Tomei Tumas Meis? He wants to know, am I Tomei Tumas Meis? Why should he or should he not be Tomei Tumas Meis? He was just Malo Meis. We just spoke about that, right? Not so simple. Not so pushed. He didn't see, there was no, he couldn't see the Nephil there. Maybe there was no Nephil there. What do you mean there was no Nephil there? The Nephil was tossed in there yesterday. What's the Shiloh? Shema Geru Chuda. Maybe an animal Nebuch came and schlepped the Nephil into the animal's hole. Maybe he wasn't standing connected to the Nephil. Maybe he does not become Tami Tumas Meis. Who knows? So the Gemara says, good morning, Safik in Vadai. And the Gemara now goes on a whole tangent about whether Safik Moitzvi Devadai, Emotzvi Devadai. And then the Gemara throws in another monkey wrench who says it was a Nephil altogether. Something came out of her body. Every once in a while, something comes in early miscarriage. Maybe it could be misconstrued. Maybe there wasn't a real Nephil there in the first place. So maybe it was just the things that were coming out. Maybe it wasn't even Matami altogether. So the Gemara says, was it a Vaday? Was it a Suffolk? And someone says, Aza Lomdis Aza story. Sure. Okay. So even though the main part of the Sugi, the main thrust of the Sugi is Suffolk, was it a Vaday? So we're going to put that on hold for a little bit. We spoke a lot about that in the past. We're going to focus for our Sugi a little bit just on the mechanics of the story. Some of the details of the story are very, very, very shaky. So there are a lot of things that are very, very shaky in this sugya. So the first thing that's very, very vague, very unclear in the sugya is who exactly had the miscarriage? I mean, I'm not asking, was it Rachel or Leah? That doesn't really interest me too much. Why am I confused as to who had this miscarriage? Because how does it represent the story? Ma'ise bewa? Ma'ise b'shivchoso shemeitz gecha berimon shetil l'nefel labor. There was a shivcha. Shivcha means a shivcha kinainis. A shivcha kinainis tossed the Nephil into the boar. So Taisus quotes two interpretations of the story. So one version of the story could be that who had the miscarriage? She had this miscarriage. The shivcha had the miscarriage. And she was throwing her own Nephil into the boar. But there's another potential version of the story. Who had the miscarriage? The Baal Sabayis, means the owner of the Adon's wife, had the miscarriage. The shivcha was just called Nebuch to dispose of the Nephil. So everyone agrees the shivcha threw it into the boar. What's undocumented in the story is who was the one who gave birth to this Nephil in the first place. Okay, so if you'd ask me, I'd say, so ma'ichpatli, what do I care? So ma'isa this or that. Every once in a while, the Gemara will tell a story, and the Gemara get very, very stickler for details. The Gemara will go out of its way to insist to tell you every single detail. And sometimes the Gemara will have two versions of the same story. It's a famous Gemara in the fourth bag of Brachas. So the Gemara tells a story about somebody who was davening early, and it wasn't clear who the somebody was, and it wasn't clear whether they were davening Meyer Verli on Friday night, or they were davening Meyer Verli Motzei Shabbos. So the Gemara says there are two versions of the story. So one version had Rav, or Kahn, two versions as to who the person was, and two versions as to what tefillah they were davening early. So I understand why the Gemara presents, since there were two legitimate versions, there were two different messiahs, two different people had different versions of the story, so the Gemara felt the necessity to relate both of them, because it's important to know who says what. The Gemara says that if you quote the wrong person saying the wrong thing, it's a violation of Lo Sasek V'Urachash or Mavli Rishonim. Whether it's a realist or not, it's a different story. But it's important, the Gemara says, to know who said what, because otherwise, if you don't know who said what, then you can ask funny kashas. You can say, ooh, there's a steer in Rav. Rav didn't say it. I think we spent some time earlier this year about a famous Ketzais and a Ritvan Sukkah, about that the Ketzais thought it was a Rash, but not a Ritva, and that led to 3 days of Shia. So like, it's very, very important to know who said what. So I understand why the Gemara goes out of its way to tell us whether it was Rav or Shmuel, whoever it was. I forgot what the third version. And then I understand also why the Gemara makes a fuss to quote both versions, whether it was the Friday night early or Motzei Shabbos early, because they're really different issues. Davening Maariv early on Friday afternoon is not necessarily the same shot as davening Maariv early Motzei Shabbos. Because Friday afternoon, you have the Sraf to Sefer Shabbos on your side. But for Shabbos, you have the issue, or maybe it's not a good idea to daven early. It's going to mislead people to think you can do Malacha early. So it's not identical. So I understand why the Gemara felt, for halakhic reason, is compelled to quote two versions of the story. But the Gemara then tells a third issue that were two versions too. And we remember the Gemara and Brachos, beginning of the fourth parak. So one version of the story
whether it was by the theme or by the tree.
Right. Yeah,
location.
Right, the Gemara tells us one version of the story was that he was standing in front of a beam and one he was standing in front of a tree. It was Echpatli, where the George Washington chopped down the cherry tree or chopped down the apple tree. So why can't we? He was davening Meir for. But Echpatli, he was davening in the indoor minion, the outdoor minion, by the Kobe minion. Where was standing? He was davening in Yenemten, Shmenemten. What do I care where he was standing for? What a Chazal even bother to tell you two versions? So I forget what it was. One of the Mefarshim says, no, that Chazal sometimes went so out of the way to be mitak, the kichut siren, even the details that were completely irrelevant, just to show you how serious they took the details. Just to show you that if Chazal had an alternate version of the story, they wanted you to know that they took it seriously. And if they felt the necessity to relate to you that according to one version of the Braisa, one version of the story, whatever, not a Braisa, whatever, one version, so it was in front of a tree, and according to the other one, it was in front of a beam, so it choked you having a doctor, because I didn't just tell them, we're just sitting around, by Kumsitz and just telling stories. Like, every detail of the story could potentially alter halacha, even though this particular point is not really irrelevant, is really, really irrelevant halacha. It was afal b'chayim. Chazal wanted to show you they took every single story very, 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 very seriously. They're not just kibitzing about some mice and a shalshus or something. So back to the story over here, no pun intended. The story of the shivcha, ma'ech patli. But it was the shivcha, it was the gevirta. Who cares? Who was the one who was being matil? So Taisus writes, no, there's a big difference. There's a huge difference. Because why were they going to check the nefil for? What was the goal of checking the nefil? Find out the intricacies of Tumas Viletis. So he says, wait a second, hold the phone. If you hold that it was the Jewish Balas Abayis who miscarried, okay, obviously a Jewish woman is subject to dinner with Tumas Viletis. But if it was the Shifcha who was the Mapelas, the Yoledis, wait a second, hold the phone. Who says that Tumas Viletis applies to Shifcha? How do you know? Fishtek? Taisa says, if the version of the story was the Shivcha, so this would be a feather in the cap of those who claim that, hey, a Shivcha Tata is Matami to Mishaledas. Taisa says, we don't know, we're not sure. Is the Shivcha Matami to Mishaledas? We don't know what the din is. So Taisa says, Akama is a Raya, must be a Shivcha is Matami to Mishaledas. And then Taisa says, no, Akama is not a Raya because it's not crystal clear for Akama whose Nafel this really was. So this is the Nafkamina for Yisuri Kari. So this is a serious Nafkamina. It's a huge Nafkamina, whether Tumas Yoledes was given to a Shivcha or not. So Taisa says that, you know what? Even though this Gemara is not an ironclad Raya, we do have other Rayas. And Taisa starts collecting Yuteris Kainims and Gemaras and Shabbos. But Taisa finally puts together a whole puzzle and says, you know what? A Shivcha Taka is Matame, Tumas Yoledes. Whether this Gemara is a good Raya or not is unclear, it's vague, but Lamai says the thing is that she is. Then Taisus goes further and says, and how do you know that she is? What's the mokar? So Tais says, dug up a teres kohenim. That seems to have a possible. It was a drasha to tell me that she is metame. So when all the dust settles, achareki chleis akol, the answer was unequivocally yes, she is metame to Monsieur Ledes. How do I know it? Is there a raif magamara? Is there a pasuk? Is there a drasha? Some of the details are a little bit hazy, but at the end of the day, the din is that it's true. It's not really a sugya, but it's an important question. Is this strange? Does this strike you as being odd that a shifcha kenayis is betami to Monsieur Ledes? Is this something that you would have expected? Tosfos wasn't sure about it. Tosfos didn't expect it. Tosfos was searching shas for it, and they wouldn't go to sleep until they found the makor. Is this something that you would have thought about? What would you have thought if you weren't learning Pesachim Daf Tes?
Goyim don't have the same
chostuma. So Goyim don't have any chostuma for that matter. Right? Goyim doesn't have any chostuma. So Jeremy was assuming something in that question. So Jeremy was assuming Shiva Chenais is a Goyim. Is that a true statement?
What kind of freed
do they come to
Jew? What?
He has
three years,
right?
So everyone's throwing around a lot of terms here. So whatever Kenanis slash Shifcha Kenanis is a very, very strange parasha. It's one of the strangest hybrids in halacha, as we've said many, many times. When something is an extreme, you know, when the world is black and white, so when something is absolutely 100% black, I understand. It has all the characteristics of X. When something is 100% white, so it has all the characteristics of Y. So the extremes are very easy. The problem is, when something takes on little bits of everything, it has certain characteristics of Pliny and certain of Almoini, and now it's one big kishke, one big chont. It's got a little bit, it's got everything, the beans, the barley, the meat, everything is thrown into the mix. And now I can't make out, what is this? Is cholim fundamentally beans, and there's just some barley thrown in for good luck? Or is cholim fundamentally barley, and there's some beans thrown in? It's a nafkamina. For Pesach Cholent. Can you make a Pesach Cholent? So the Olam is made to make a Pesach Cholent. There's no barley. Ashkenazim, sorry. There are no beans in that either. Because Kitnius was after Zman HaGemara, so that's why we can make it. You can make it, we can. So what is it? So it's meat and potatoes. That's basically what a Pesach Cholent is. And it's still called Cholent. So Zem Fandah, that the ego of Cholent is the meat and potatoes. Everything else is just tangential. Nafkamina if you're in yeshiva, where there's no meat. So is that also called the cholim? So a lot of potatoes, little meat. Because meat costs more money than potatoes. So it's very, very hard in life when you have these hybrids. What is this hybrid? So whatever Kanaan is, especially Shiva Kanaan, is the perfect example of this. Why? Because what are some of the things that highlight, what are some of the good litmus tests, whether somebody's Jewish or not? Let me give me a good example to tell. If I'm looking at a person, I want to know, is this person Jewish or not? What? Having a bris is usually indicative of being Jewish. So the answer is, a Nebuchadnezzar, Taka does have a bris. Right? He is a Ben Bris. What are some other good litmus tests?
Their ancestry?
I mean, not necessarily, because you could have a ger. So a ger is a full-fledged Jew, even though he has a Jewish ancestry. Let's stick to a man for a minute. It makes it easier for a man. What? Chiv mitzvahs. That's usually a pretty dead giveaway. So what's the story with Nebuchadnezzar? He's a chiv mitzvahs. What's the answer? It depends. He's a hybrid. That's how he's a chont. So he has beans without potatoes. He's got he has to keep Shabbos. He has to keep kashrus. But what does he not have to do? He doesn't put on tefillin. And he's a man. He's a man who does not put on tefillin. I mean, women don't put on tefillin, but a man who doesn't put on tefillin. How many other Jewish men do you know who don't put on tefillin? I ask you whether you know any Jewish men who don't put on tefillin. Do you know any Jewish men who don't have to put on tefillin? No. But here I do. His name is Mr. Kenani. He's a man. He's not putting on tefillin. What's another really, really good nafkamina? As in everything else in life. When you can't think of a nafkamina, what's the best nafkamina always? Kedusha. Right? The famous chokos, right? You say Shtikul Torah, and there's absolutely no nafkamina to it. So what might be nafkamina? Kedusha Isha. What's the nafkamina? Mekash Isha, Manasseh, the Shtikul Torah is right or not. So Kedusha is always a good thing. Pull out of your hat, what's more Kedusha? Does it ever Kenani issue? Do they have Kedusha? What's the answer? Absolutely not. There's no condition, no tzitzis condition. So what does that indicate to you? That's very goyish. So Shabbos he has, tefillin he doesn't have. Tzitzis kedushin he doesn't have. I'll give you half a dozen other things that he does have. No. I'll tell you a secret. Not only did he have a bris, he even went to the what?
Mikvah.
He went to the mikvah. In front of a beis din. For the purpose of becoming a kenani. That sounds like a gayrish to me. Very, very unclear.
But he was
makabal to be an Evakanani. So that's exactly what I'm asking. What is he? So there's a basic fundamental question. What is an Eved Kenani / Shevet Kenani? Is an Eved Kenani / Shevet Kenani fundamentally have Kedushas Yisrael? They're basically a member of the Jewish people. They basically have Kedushas Yisrael to them. Hello, what? They have Kedushas Yisrael with a handful of exceptions. One of the handful of exceptions is a Ptuah from Mitzvah Seshes Ban Grama. Now, it's not shocking to find an individual who has full-fledged Kedushas Yisrael who has a Ptuah from Tefillin. We have such a model of someone who has full Kedushas Yisrael without a Chiv and Tefillin. We call them women. Okay, it's half of Klal Yisrael like that. So an Eved Kenani happens to be a man, but he has a Ptuah from Tefillin, Ptuah from Sukkah, Ptuah from Tzitzis. So the Ptuah from Mitzvah Seshes Ban Grama is not necessarily indicative of the fact that he doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael. Kedushin is a toughie, right? So that's what you do, Reb Chaim, for this one. So Reb Chaim has a whole famous discussion about what is it about an Eved Kenani that does have Kedushin. The Gemara is from Shulchan Poem HaChamos. The Gemara says it does have Kedushin. What's Pshat? Is the building Tfizos Kedushin Neveya from his lack of a full Kedushas Yisrael? Is that basically the fact that an Eved Kenani doesn't have Kedushin, the fact that a Goy doesn't have Kedushin is the same halacha? A Goy doesn't have Kedushin because he has no Kedushas Yisrael, and an Eved Kenani doesn't have Kedushin because he doesn't have enough Kedushas Yisrael. Is that the Pshat? Or Bechlal not? The E-Tfisas Kedushin is Neveya from a different in Lagamre. The Olam, he has a full Kedushas Yisrael. But the fact that he doesn't have Kedushin Tyson Bari is Lagamre for a different din. Because Avdus is a Mafkiya of Kedushin. The din Avdus Shaboy is Mafkiya, the possibility of Kedushin. Why that should be so? Another halachic discussion, not for now. That's a famous Hakim Reb Chaim. That I have this individual, I have two people standing in front of me. I have a Goy and I have a Kenani. If both of them will put a ring on a Jewish woman's hand, the Kedushin will not be chal, either one. She doesn't need to get either one. So I want to know, are those fundamentally one din, or those fundamentally two din? Is the Itvis Kedushin of Kenani part and parcel of the same din of Itvis Kedushin of a Goy? Or is the din of Itvis Kedushin of an Eved Kenani, they're there from a different parasha of Gamri? It's not to do with he's a full-fledged Jew, he has full-fledged Kedushin Yisrael. It's a Nisim, it's a din in Achutz. That Chakir and Reb Chaim is almost, I wouldn't have given this example except the fact we spoke about it earlier this year. It's almost Moshe Madav Adoyim, that type. He was talking about sorting chaburas, sorting chakiras, you know, categories of chakiras. I was listening to a shiur that I gave on something the other day, about a shiur I gave about in Sanhedrin, about the Zion chakiras, the questions that we asked the Edom, right? The chakiras, the bedikas, the drishas, right? Fish for chakiras. So, I must have been in a good mood that day because I said, Yesh Lachor, we have to have a chakira about the nature of the din of chakiras. That was the way I presented it. As alumnus of Shaila, is the chakiras, figuring out the time in the Machman's mind, is that an integral part of the Haggadah Seidus? Without the Zayin chakiras, as Nishkin Haggadah Seidus? Well, no, it's called Haggadah Seidus without it. The chakiras are a din stud, it's a din that's a neisaf, in addition to Haggadah Seidus just means Reuben killed Shimon. When he killed him, where he killed him, no, that's an additional din. It's not part of the Ezra Lodzadis. So I was like joking, I said like three times in the show, I said, it's the Chakir about the Chakiris. So here we're learning Chakiris 101. That's June's mom. You should write down, that's what Rabbi Solomon's going to share on June's mom, Chakiris 101. So who can name this Chakir? I have two Isurim, and they both end up in the same place. But I want to know whether the second din is, in a sense, a mikzas of the first din, right? Understand the moshul? It's a mikzas lack of Kedushas Yisrael, or the second din is lagamri different. That means, la'olam, the first din isn't present, the first chisar is not here, and the reason why the second din is true is lagamri min achutz. It's the same type of chakira. I have, the reason why a goy can't be mekadesh in Isha is because he has no Kedushas Yisrael, zero Kedushas Yisrael, nothing. Now we have din number two in Eved Kenani. He can't be Mekadesh Isha because he has no Kedushas Yisrael. He can't be Mekadesh Isha for a exact reason. Name that Me'ein HaChakira. What? Trefin Avela. I think it's the exact parallel. What do you mean by that? Why can't I eat Nevela? Why isn't Shechita Chal on Nevela? What's the answer? Because there's no Chiyus. The animal's there already. Shechita means to take a live animal to make it dead through a shechita. So the reason why there's no shechita on Nevela is because there's no chiyus there. So that's the Kain. It's like Elsatz, right? So shechita to Nevela is like kedushin to a goy. Why is there no kedushin for a goy? Because he has no kedush yisrael. Your unique kedush yisrael is the prerequisite for kedushin. You can't be kash ish unless you have kedushin to you. You have to have kedusha to you to an effect kedush yisrael. Kedush yisrael is building on, I'm sorry, kedusha is building on the existence of kedush yisrael. So you can't shech a nevela because there's no chiyus there for the shechita to be challah. So a goy can't be mekadesh and isha because there's no kedusha to be taifes. No? Why? What's wrong with the treifa? What's wrong with shechita's treifa? So what's Reb Chaim's bar mitzvah pshat? What did Reb Chaim say? Say because it's almost an nevela. What does that mean? It means it only has a mikdash chiyus. It doesn't have a full chiyus. It's already 1 foot of the grave. So, and if treifa is lacking, and the same thing, so when you look at a shechita's treifa, look at a shechita's nevela, it's the same chisaron. It's the same basic fundamental problem, that a nevela doesn't have any chiyus, doesn't have any life, it's mamish dead lagam, right? And a treifa's half dead already. But it's the same basic chisaron. Or maybe not, maybe Reb Chaim Shtikut HaBar Mitzvah wasn't right. Maybe, as Papa Chalik Zavi shared, maybe La'olam, a treifa has full-fledged chiyus to it. It's alive and well. I mean, not well, but it's alive. It's not dead. It's not lying on the floor dead. Its head isn't chopped off. It's alive. So why can't I eat it? There's nothing wrong with the shechita. You know why I can't eat it? Why can't I eat it? Because it's a treifa. It's a chadash. It's a new din. It's a zunder din. That treifus, the hole in the heart, the hole in the stomach, the hole in the lungs, is a goyim of an iser. The game of the Isser has nothing to do with the built shechita. Again, Reb Chaim showed that you guys are so mushba. Reb Chaim can't even imagine as another tzad in his chakira. That shechita's treifa is, it's like shechting a shor niskel. Means there's nothing wrong with the shechita of a shor niskel. Well, the mice you can't eat it anyway because there's an Isser menachot. It's called shor niskel. So it's mamish identical chakira to a goy, a nevekinani. A goy has no kedushin because he has no kedusha. A nevekinani also has no kedushin. Why is that? Because he doesn't have enough kedusha. He has a mixed kedusha Yisrael. That's the problem. Or no, la'ola mitam kedusha Yisrael. The goy is the evikinai is a full fledged candidate for kedusha. There should be nothing preventing the evikinai from putting the ring on the woman's finger and being a kaddisha. He has enough kedusha Yisrael for that. The problem is it's a dimin achutz. It's a zayit gezach. It's like shor niskel. There's a zayit gezach called avdus. Avdus is a mafkiyah from kedusha. So you see, Reb Chaim. The same person, same Reb Chaim, who looked at treifus through two different lenses when he was 13. I don't know when he wrote this other piece about Evkinai, maybe when he was 14, I don't know. But he looked at Evkinai through two different lenses as well. But what do you see from this whole discussion? That it's far from clear what an Evkinai really is. Is an Evkinai really Jewish or really a goy fundamentally? What makes it so complicated is because he has mixes and matches of both. So you can't bring a riot brew from Mitzvah Shesman Groma because we have women who have to just roll without Mitzvah Shesman Groma. You can't necessarily bring a riot from Tisus Kedushin because it's in the Tonli Amer that there's no Tisus Kedushin because he's lacking the prerequisite of Kedush Yisrael or because there's a bit of Aftus that's a Mafkir of Kedushin. So we've got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. So Tisus is raising the question, all of a sudden Sachem Tav Tastos says, well, hey, what's the thing? Is it Shivcha Metame or not? So what do you think that din should be? I don't know. Maybe it depends. As Jeremy said correctly, goyim, generally speaking, are not metame. Not generally, always. Goyim are not subject to tum metara. There are a lot of tumas and taras, but goyim. In a Torah, there's no tum metara for goyim. So is it shayach to speak about tumas yoledes for a shivcha? I don't know. It probably depends what you think a shivcha is ultimately. Is she Jewish or is she not Jewish? So maybe that's why I need a pasuk. Maybe the pasuk is telling me that she is Jewish. Maybe the pasuk is saying it's exeris akos, even though she's not Jewish. Maybe you don't need a pasuk. So there's a lot of work to do. So a lot of this, you know, lack of clarity emanates from Asugya because we can't tell from the story. See, imagine if the Gemara would have told us the two versions. Imagine if the Gemara would have said, Yeshayimim, it was the Shifchas, and Yeshayimim was the Gevirtas. So we said, oh, it's Machlaikis at the time. The two versions are having a Machlaikis, whether Shifchas Matami or not. So the problem is the Gemara never tells us. The Gemara just says, Maisim, Shifchasu, Bemaitzik, Shehitil, Leifel, Abor. Unclear. So Taisa quotes two. Tosfos had made up two versions of the story. So the two versions of the story could potentially have serious impact. So Acharei Kleisa Kol Tosfos still believes that a Shivcha is Betame, but whether or not she should or should not be Betame may be part of a much grandiose, much greater scheme of things in terms of what a Shivcha and an Evet for that matter's relationship is to Kleis as a whole. So this was not really part of our story, but this is just, I had no idea, we weren't even supposed to talk about this today. This is just, well, you know, just free association. So hopefully, when the next year comes, we'll try to start a sugya, which is a good question, when the next year is going to be. So maybe Sunday, maybe Monday, I'm not sure. Okay? I may have to take off one day next week. I thought it would be